Hello and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. We've got an excellent bit of action to preview. We're here with the Racing Post and with Unibet for our weekly preview show. Kelso, Doncaster and Newbury all on the ITV schedule to get stuck into. And I'm joined by a stellar panel, as always. I've got Graham Robway and Matt Rennie from the Racing Post. And as always, from Unibet, we have Ed Nicholson. Like I say, gents, we've got plenty to get through, so we won't have too much of a pre-discussion. But one thing we should mention, especially with a Unibet rep on here as well, is that Nicky Henderson made the call with Michael Buckley yesterday to keep Constitution Hill on the flat. Graham Robway, you first. Right decision, wrong decision, or not too much of an opinion on it?
Definitely the right decision for me, Sam. Yeah, I didn't want to see him jump another hurdle after three falls in his last four starts. That's not a fluke, is it? You know, that suggests there was an inherent problem there with his jumping, unfortunately, because he was such a superb jumper in his absolute peak. But yeah, I can't wait to see him on the flat. He was superb at Southall. And I think that he's a Group 1 horse, of course, Sam, having put that as one of my seven prophecies for 2026, that Constitution Hill would win a Group 1 on the flat. I think it could happen, Sam. And actually, the only thing is what I wonder what sort of distance they go for. I know they're talking about 2-mile-plus races, but if you look at the striding data, there's quite a suggestion there that he would be equally effective at around a mile and a half, which is obviously the trip that he won over at Southall. So what about the King George, Nicky? Come on, get him in the King George, not the jumping King George, the flat King George, the one at Ascot. I could see him win the King George.
I think we can start off with the John Porter maybe as an early season target. We'll see where we go with regards to the King George. Matt Rennie, what were your thoughts? I know that you were at the first Friday Night Live. You weren't at the one last Friday, but he did light things up on the flat.
Absolutely. So, to be honest with you, I went into it immediately afterwards thinking, oh, I'd love to see him over the jumps again. But I've had, and I think a lot of people have, and it's fine to do so. I've had my mind swayed during the week. I was thinking about it today. He's 9. He's going to be 10 next year. As much as he's shown his brilliance, there's probably not too many more years in him to come as a veteran. And why push him to do something which he may have a little bit of not falling out of love with, but do something that he shows he's actually really, really good and loving it. And we can love him in that environment instead of trying to make him go jump again. Because it's clear his confidence is still there in terms of racing and running ability, jumping wise, evidently not. So, then lofty heights set by G-Rod. I mean, a biased me being in York would love to see him have a crack at the Yorkshire Cup. And if he isn't good enough for that, a group tour runs well, then come back for the E-Boy. You know, it's a hefty old prize this year and won by Ethical Diamond last year. Could set you up on a major international targets from there.
Let's just wait and see. And Ed Nixon, obviously very close to Nicky, Michael, Nico and the team at Seven Barrows. How much of a tough decision was this for them?
I spoke to him the night before and he said it was still 50-50. Mm. So he hadn't made his mind up. And, you know, he was intrigued to he's not a betting manager, no, but he was intrigued to see that there was like 5-2 to 7-2 with a run. The champion hurdle, Unibet champion hurdle, and he was surprised it was that big with a run, but then obviously they had a shout and a chat and what have you the next day, and obviously we're the sponsor of the race and we're sponsor of Nicky's, and it would have been a great media return for us. So with my sponsor's hat on, I'd love to have seen him in the Unibet champion hurdle, but I think with my personal head on, I think it was the right decision because they went to the flat to find out whether he could have a second career as a flat horse. And the answer is yes. I mean, I think he's an RPR of 103, which makes him probably one of the highest RPRs first time out. I remember Morley Street winning first time out over on the flat at Goodwood, beating St. Ledger winner, Michelozzo, I think he was. And I think the RPR for that horse was 75. So, you can see how good a horse Constitution Hill is going to be on the flat. And to answer the question about what distance, well, Nico always thought 1.62. As I said last week, Martin Dwyer said, why can't he win the Ascot Gold Cup? But I get a feeling they think 1.5-2 miles is going to be his distance. And, if he was mine now we're going on the flat, I would aim for the Irish St. Ledger. That Group 1 would be the one that I would go for, the Irish St. Ledger, soft ground, back end of the summer season, in the autumn. I think Absurd ran in that and, you know, ran well in it, didn't he, a couple of years ago or last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's great for the sport, is it? Because we're still talking about Constitution Hill, even though he's retired from jump racing. He's got another couple of years. And it will only be a couple of years, wouldn't it, you would have thought, being a nine-year-old. But, yeah, great for the sport, I think. And it's also great that Nicky and everybody has organised for him to be paraded at Cheltenham on Unibet Champion Hurdle Day. So I'll be waiting to listen to the reception that horse gets. And I'm one odds on shot that will win on Tuesday of Cheltenham is that Nicky Henderson will be in tears.
Yeah, no, I can completely agree. Yeah, really exciting times with Constitution Hill on the flat. Do let us know in the comments what you made of it. Do you think it's the right decision? Do you think it's the wrong decision? Either way, it's going to be great for racing. Quick promo from a Unibet point of view and Racing Post point of view. We've got the Unibet Racing Post Cheltenham preview next Wednesday, 7:30, Wednesday the 4th of March, here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. David Jennings is flying over from Ireland. We've got Paul Keighley, Tom Siegel, Ed Nicholson's going to be on the panel, and of course, Mr. Nicky Henderson will be in the Racing Post studio. Plenty of offers from Unibet, boosts from Unibet. It's going to be a really excellent preview show. Looking forward to putting that together once again. And we'll also have the Racing Postcast Top 5 Bets video next Sunday ahead of the week at Cheltenham. Another really popular show that we put out here on the Racing Post. Right away from Group 1 action, Group 1 talk on the flat, gents, to Class 3 handicaps at Kelso. We kick things off on this week's review with the 110 there. It's 2 mile, 1 furlong handicap chase. Let's have a look at the market then. Tornio's 2-1, Doindabar 9-2, Aero's Luck 9-2, by the same token 13-2, Blue Denver is 17-2, Ombre de Guerre is 9-1, Braze River's 9-1, and Chapel Green is 20-8-1. This first race here, then I'll come to you first, Matt Rennie. Tornio fairly consistent, getting the head in the top two in consistent moments, but this race here could be a different class. What do we make of this?
Yeah, it's a trappy little affair. I'm not with Tornio. I'm going to side with Aero's Luck, actually. I just think he started to find his feet and find his way in the handicap since he's joined Sandy Thompson. He's a winner at Punchestown last June for Gavin Cromwell, and the British handicapper hiked him about £4 or £5 higher than what he won off that day. And when he's relented, he ran well in a novice chase here in December, but ran really, really well in this company at Musselburgh last time around, and just nabbed on the line under William Maggs, who gets a tune out of him. Like, he's £2 higher for this one. That's only £1 above his last winning mark now. And I think he's found his feet, and this could be just the right time for him to strike.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, nice quick selection there from Matt. Love to hear it. And Graham Robway, I'm sure you've got a snappy selection for us in this opening race.
Very difficult race, this one, I thought, Sam. I thought it was between, by the same token, Sean Bowen's an interesting booking for Ross O'Sullivan. And the one that I'm going to back is Blue Denver, who's a double figure price. He's a bigger price than them, by the same token. And he's also 4 years younger than him. You know, by the same token's a 12-year-old, whereas Blue Denver's only 8. And he ran quite an eye-catching race last time behind JPR1 at Musselburgh. It was good time that day, and Blue Denver made a few mistakes at a crucial stage, but got himself into contention in the straight and then just faded up the straight. So he's dropping back to 2 mile, 1 furlong here. It's a bit of an uphill climb to the line at Kelso. That might suit him. And at double figure odds, Blue Denver is the one for me, Sam.
Yeah, Brian Hughes in the saddle there, Blue Denver. And yeah, the Unibet traders, Ed Nixon, they've really smashed this horse in. I can see on the Unibet website now, 12-1, 11-1, 9-1, 17-2. The money is coming for this Brian Hughes runner. He could be in for a good day, actually, at Kelso.
Yeah, there's a few trainers and jockeys that could be in for good days at Kelso. Good prize money. It's the weekend that Lambourne and the South travel up to Scotland, isn't it? And the North with good chances. And I quite fancy the chances of the favourite here. I know it's a bit of a boring selection, but Tornio, he's got good form. He's yet to win this season. He's gone up, I think, £7 despite not winning. But his form is rock solid. And Jamie Snowden's a trainer that I really like to follow. And when he travels his horses, he's actually got a very good record. For instance, here at Kelso, he's had 12 runners at Kelso. And 9 of them have come first or second. And Tornio, that includes 3 winners. And Tornio, I think, has got the profile. Young, improving horse. They've obviously pinpointed this race. And, you know, as Graham said, it's a very difficult race. But I'm going to go for Tornillo, who's good on the ground as well. The present good to soft. He's had seven runs, yet to win in it, but he's five of those seven he's been placed. So, yeah, difficult race to begin proceedings off with, but Tornillo would be my selection.
Okay, Ed Nixon with Tornillo, then Matt Rennie with Arrow's Luck, and then Blue Dun Further, well-backed horse for Graham Robway. Let's move on then to the 140 at Kelso. This is probably their feature big race there, their listed race, although it's not the best market you'll see in the world, where Protectorat is currently the 9-1 on favourite with Unibet. Manila Drama's 8-1. Ain't That a Shame is 10-1. And Stolen Silver is 66-1. Saying Ain't That a Shame, ain't that a shame that we're not seeing anything take on Protectorat in this race here. It'd be great to see in a good battle. We don't need to spend too long on this, unless anyone has a strong opinion that Protectorat will get beat. But he won last time after wind surgery. I'd imagine the plan, he's still in the Ryanair. He could end up at Aintree in the Mildmay once again. Graham Robway, is it a simple point and shoot for Protectorat?
It should be, shouldn't it, Sam? He's in a different class to this lot. And this is why Dan Skelton's winning the Trainers' Championship this year, because he's been able to mop up these easy prizes. I mean, how easy is this going to be? 40-odd grand or 30-odd grand for the Skelton team. I mean, he's different gravy. The only worry is that I reckon the ground's going to be fairly quick for Jumps Ground at Kelso this weekend. I reckon it's going to be on the faster side, a good to soft. And Protectorat is definitely at his absolute best on testing conditions. That would be a slight concern if you wanted to take the 1-9, but class should out.
Absolutely, class should come through. Matt Rennie, did you just want to give me a thumbs up if Protectorat will win this race? There you go. I'll take that. And Ed Nicholson, I'm just having a look at the markets here in the Ryanair Chase. I don't know whether the horse will end up in that race, but currently 33-1 anti-post with Unibet. Would you say this race here will probably be more a lead into Aintree?
Yeah. I mean, Grey Dawning won last year for the stable, didn't he, in this race? I mean, he wins, doesn't he? He's a millionaire already, so he'll add another £34,000 to his career pot. But 1-10, we'll win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all in agreement there. But that was very easy to agree on. Right, let's move on to 215. This is much more competitive. We've got a novices hurdle, grade 2 event here, over 2.25 miles. Starmount's currently top in the market for the Pooling Yard at 3-1. Montemayor's 4-1. Le Beau Madrick is 9-2. Last Cloud is 13-2. The Blue Room is 7-1. Cossack Doudary is 8-1. Double figures bar these. Ed, I'll come to you first here. We start off with an offer, money back second or third in this race. Tell us about the offer and also who wins this race.
Yeah, our flagship offer, really. Money back second or third in this particular contest. So well worth looking at this race if you do fancy a horse. But we're offering that promotion because it's a very difficult race. Basically, 3-1 the field, 130 we're going at the moment on Starmount. I had a good look at the race. It's a novices hurdle, grade 2. Plenty of horses coming up, as I say, from the south. The one northern horse that I liked is 40-1, and I'm going to give it an each-way shout, Cabela de Gura. The stable, I think, have won this race for the last 2 years. They would have had a lot of choices in this race, Lucinda Russell and Scudamore team. He is a big price. He has pulled in his races this season, but at Haydock last time, I think it was last time, he pulled, didn't jump well, and ran on steadily for fourth. He dropped back and then he ran on to keep fourth. But I didn't think that was too bad a performance, really. 40-1, I thought, was quite a big price, certainly for a trainer who does tend to pinpoint horses for this contest. They're all carrying 11.5 today. The faster pace will suit, I think, will make him settle a bit better. Hopefully his jumping will improve a bit. They're all carrying 11.5. He did run against Starmount at Weatherby back in December, giving Starmount £2. He lost by 7.5 lengths. So they're all on 11.5, I think, this weekend, or 11.6. I just thought of 40-1. It was quite a big price. He is going up a bit in trip as well, 2-mile 2, which I don't know the style of running, which that would be a positive or a negative, really. But listen, in a difficult race, I thought it was worth an each way bet at 40-1.
Caballo de Guerre, the Lucinda Russell runner there, Marcus Goodwin, Lucinda Russell, 40-1 with Unibet currently. Remember, money back second or third in that race there. Matt Rennie, any selection here? I only got a thumbs up with you on the last race, so I'll let you talk here. Who do you like?
Plenty more. This is an absolute stormer of a grade two in terms of a puzzle, if you want one. I mean, just absolutely, you know, it could be a minefield. You could make a case for at least nine or 10 of them in the field. And I know the Russell and Scudamore yard at the start of the season did think a lot of Caballo de Guerra as well. I'm going to go with the blue room here for Ollie Murphy. I can completely forget last time and forgive the last run. It was the controversial whole race at Cheltenham. There was delays. It was dismal conditions in the end. It just seemed to not go for him. And before that, he ran really well. I mean, he was outclassed, but he ran really well behind No Drama this end at Sandown over 2.5. But the form line for me I was looking at would be his run before that when he won at Chepstow and he beat a really good horse in Double Measure who was going well in the Dovecoat last week before falling and came from nowhere, was distanced for 25 and a bit lengths behind him, I think, and he's gone on to win a really good handicap hurdle at Ascot, the Holloway's handicap hurdle, so he's a proper handicapper, that horse. And I just think this grade two's deep, it's not necessarily one of those where you get one of those really good graded stars. I know My Drogo won it a couple of years ago, but it could be one who's more of a handicapper in time. The blue room might be that. I just think there were two really standout bits of form. The 2 mile two obviously is a unique trip, and you do need to be able to get home at Kelso as well. It's quite you can be on fumes at the end of it when it's really testing. Obviously, it's not going to be that tested this weekend, so you need a horse maybe that's stays a little bit further as well, and I think he does. So, yeah, the blue room for me, but I think a really, really generous prize.
Yeah, blue room 7-1 currently with Unibet, and you're going to get plenty of value in this race. And as Matt says, it is a really tricky puzzle to solve. But Graham Robway, he's a real puzzle expert. Come on, let's solve this one.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. I think that Starmount is by far the most likely winner. But for Ben Paulie and Ben Jones, having a great season, aren't they, those two? Mm. I know that he was 1-7 when he won last time, but the runner-up, he thrashed 15 lengths, has since come out and won. And he's very uncomplicated horse, Star Mount, isn't he? You just jump him off in front. He's a good jumper, and he will be very, very difficult to catch. The only thing I'm going to throw in is at double-figure odds, don't discount Lord Byron. For this team of Faye Bramley and, AP's got something to do with the yard, hasn't he? Now, I don't know what they're up to with this horse, but I know he's got more ability than we've seen already, and he might improve for better ground. And he didn't run that badly behind Maestro Conti, who I think could run well in the Triumph last time out at Cheltenham. Yes. It wouldn't entirely surprise me if Lord Byron took a massive leap forward, but you know, he's going to have to be pretty good to beat Starmount, who's going to go from the front, jump well, and be difficult to catch.
Yeah, I've got on my notes here, Gerard, that Lord Byron, he's going to win a race before the end of the season. I just don't know when this horse is going to be right to win one, but certainly has plenty of ability. And I agree with what you say about Maestro Conti. Okay, let's go on then to the 2:55. Like I say, plenty of racing at Kelso on ITV on Saturday. This is the Moor Battle Hurdle, their big feature handicap hurdle there, over 2 miles. This is always a competitive affair, and I absolutely love this race. And Unibet currently have a 5-1 favourite in Cracking Rhapsody. Quaviste is 6-1. Hamlet's Knight 13-2. Hot Fuss is 8-1. Spectacular Sunrise is 17-2. We've then got 10-1 and bigger about the rest in here. Graham Robway, to you first on this one. Who do we like in the Moor Battle?
Yeah, another great race, isn't it? What race this turned into since they turned it into a handicap. I obviously, it's very, very difficult. I'm inclined to give Captain Hugo another chance. He was about to give Mossy Fenroad something to think about at Musselburgh last time when he came down after jumping, I think it was the second or third last, quite well. He jumped it well, and then he came down on landing. I think he might have gone close that day. And previously at Haydock, he was very, very good when winning there. So I'm going to give Captain Hugo a chance. Philip Hobbs and Johnson White run very, very few horses at Kelso. I mean, Philip Hobbs, when he was on his own, had one runner at the track in the last five seasons, and that won. And I don't think that Philip Hobbs and Johnson might have had a runner there, so they wouldn't be sending this horse up there unless they thought he had a good chance.
Okay, Captain Hugo then, yeah, 10-1 currently with Unibet. Last time I was on the podcast, actually, we were talking about Tashkan, who was on a race card, and his record on the flat. We've actually got Wise Eagle running in this race. He ran in the Queen's Cup last season. I'd love to try and get some sort of flat reference in where I can. Matt Rennie, who do you like in the Moor Battle, please?
Well, I'm going to stay much, much closer to Kelso than G-Rod's tip from Minehead was. I'm going keeping with the local boys with from Hoik, and I'm staying with Cracking Rhapsody to win the race for the third year on the bounce, I believe. Look, he's a cracking horse, and it's great that, you know, the Scottish Borders have a horse like him. And it just feels like this has been the race that the Connections have wanted throughout the whole of the season. Look, he's been running okay without troubling, really, at the moment. And he's £1 below, £1 below when he won the Scottish Champion Hurdle last spring. And obviously, he beat none other than Cabral de Mathan that day, who we know has gone on and proved, well, he could be the Stayers Hurdle winner, obviously, of a trip. But he looks like a grade one winner in waiting. I just feel like he's got the course form. He's come down enough in the handicaps to be given that chance. Now he's got Laffey's keeping them at top. He's on top weight rather than him. So I'm sticking with the local boys to do really, really well. It's in a race that it's a great race, and it's great to see a really good little course like Kelso being supported the way they are as well.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more there with regards to that. And I can imagine Cracking Rhapsody being really well supported on the day as well. And every time I come on this podcast as well, Ed, I always like to ask you for an extra place in the race, and you always seem to deliver. So please deliver here.
Yep, definitely going extra place. As Graham said, this race didn't used to be a handicap, but ever since it has changed conditions, it's been a really competitive handicap. So we are going extra place. My Moor Battle memory is Zaynar, the Triumph Hurdle winner, getting beaten at 1-14 back in 2010. One of, I think, only 14 or 15 horses that have got beaten at 1-14 or bigger in the last in the last century. So, you know, horses at 1-14 can get beat. Horses at 5-1 can get beat. So I'm going to go for last year's winner, Jet to Vegas. Another horse has actually been nibbled at, actually, in the betting. Yep. Lucinda Russell, I think, has got a chance. Jet to Vegas has not run brilliantly of late, but I think, again, once again, this would have been a target. It has to win from a massive hike in the weights, I think. I think has been chasing, but handicap Marcus, I think, is right in saying gone up to 135. I think he won this race off much, much lower, but I haven't got the notes to hand. But, yeah, I've got a feeling that Jet to Vegas will come back to form here today, on Saturday.
Okay. Jet to Vegas then, yeah, you're liking this team for the week. And like we said, there could be a few combinations looking to have a good day up there at Kelso. Let's move on to the final race then, gents, which is the 3:30 there at Kelso, which I believe is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 furlongs. Now, this looks like it's really competitive, gents. I like the look of this race. I think it could be an absolute cracker, and you can make a case for all of them, including the outside of the market. I thought Skyjack Hijack, who won 6 on the bounce for going to a grade 2 at Cheltenham, the horse runs off 133 here, and he was, you know, he won off a mark of 132. Back into a handicap, I thought he was a little bit overpriced in the market. But like I say, Graham, Rob, you can make a case for many in here.
Yeah, it's a weird race, right? Because there's 3 5-year-olds, and then they're all 8 and older.
Yeah,
weird. You know, you don't usually get such a big gap in the ages. And I think 4 of the last 5 winners have been 6 or 7-year-olds. So I want to be with the younger horses here. Although I hear you on Skyjack Hijack. I just wonder if he might need the run coming back after such a long absence. So I'm with Frontier Prince. Fergal O'Brien, another trainer who don't send many up to Kelso, but he's had 10 winners from 29 runners in the last 5 seasons when he does. And he's got 2 or 3 out going up there. And this Frontier Prince is one of them. He can be a bit of a dodgy jumper, but I think that he'll improve for going up in trip here. He often runs on strongly over 2 miles and did so again last time at Kempton. He goes up to 5 furlongs in distance. That might help him. The slightly slower place might help him organise himself at his hurdles and bring out the improvement needed to win. So I'm with one of the youngsters, Sam, Frontier Prince.
Frontier Prince for Graham Robboy then. Ed Nixon to you next with your new glasses. And imagine you've managed to see the winner of this one.
Well, I can see things more clearly now, as Johnny Dash once said, and I think I agree with what Gray and Rodway say. I think Frontier Prince will really appreciate the step up in distance. I mean, he runs to me, looking at the videos and remembering it in real time, as if this step up in trip is what he needs. And I concur with what Graham says about the trainer going up to Kelso. He's actually, this century, he's had 15 winners from just 40 runners. And if you had a pound on every one of his horses at Kelso this century, you'd be 30 quid up. I thought I'd found one, but Wiley old Graham's found one just before me. But I think this Frontier Prince will take a lot of beating, actually, and around about 6-1 at the moment.
Frontier Prince, 6-1. Two votes. Matt Rennie, pressure on you to land the hat trick. Yes or no?
Let's disappoint straight away. Not at all. I actually think Florida Dreams has got a really good chance in this race. So I'm siding with, well, you say the older horses, he's an 8-year-old, but my, this horse has been a bane of frustration in my life, and I'm not willing to give up on him just yet. Look, he won the Aintree Bumper God knows how many years ago now, but I thought he was going to be like Nicky Richards' next grade one performer. And he's just sort of, he's won a couple of times, but then he's in the handicaps, he's just been there or thereabouts rather than getting his head in the front. But I think he's really well handicapped to strike again. He's been in fairly good form this season, actually. He was a neck second to a Joe Tizard trained horse, Hartington, at Carlisle in November. And that horse ran a storm in that lucrative handicap hurdle at Haydock on Betfair Chase Day and has run well in those premier handicap hurdles since. And two starts ago, he ran a really good race behind Indivar Blur, who Ollie Murphy has put up as his best chance as a Cheltenham Festival winner in whether it be the Coral Cup or the Martin Pipe. And he was ahead of the Potemps final favourite that day, Supremely West for Dan Skelton. He dropped 2 pounds from his last run. I'd ignore that. I don't think he's a 3-miler. That's what he raced over at Musselburgh. So he's dropped 2 pounds, and that's 2 pounds below his last winning mark. So I think he's been given another chance. I think this trip will be his optimum. It's just whether he repays my faith finally or not in him.
Okay, Florida Dreams, then one vote there, two votes from the gents for Frontier Prince. So there we go, a real stellar card at Kelso on Saturday. We're going to be covering Doncaster and Newbury shortly after this quick message from Keith Melrose about the new product from the Racing Post called The Edge.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m. either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Matt Rennie and Unibet's Ed Nicholson spinning you through the ITV action. Plenty of action there on ITV as well. We move to Doncaster now, where we go to a 3-mile mares novices hurdle, a listed contest at 125 there at Doncaster. And again, there are plenty of horses that you can make a case for in this race. Bararua 7-2, Kulana 4-1, Dream Shadow 5-1, Broomfield Adira is 11-2, Park Princess 11-2, Living on a Prayer 7-1, Limerick Lass 17-2, Easy Love 12-1. Gents, I need some serious help with this one. It really does have me baffled. Matt Rennie, can you help me out?
Not particularly. It's one of those races where you can't really be confident at all in your selections. It took a while to plump on this one, but I've just gone with Cool Anna just because I feel the Emmett Mullins runner just may be a little bit more exposed to this level than she is. And I thought she did really, really well to fire penalty when beating another winner out last time at Wincanton at the end of January. I think that could prove to be quite a useful race for in this mare's sphere. So Cool Anna for me, and I expect, you know, Kim Bailey, Matt Nichols. I associate Kim Bailey with being a really good trainer of these 3-milers, and I've just plumped with her to get listed glory.
Okay, cool, Anna, for Matt Rennie then. Ed Nixon, I'm about to come to you. We're about halfway through the recording. Are you with Living on a Prayer?
Do you know what? No.
I knew you'd love a horse like that.
I know, I'm desperately trying to think of another horse in the race that's got musical connotations, but I've failed. I really like Park Princess. I've tipped her up on the podcast before. In fact, I tipped her up when she lost by a nose at 18-1 at Haydock. I was so gutted. But she's run well this season. As I said on that podcast, I know that Anthony Honeyball really has always thought a lot of her. I spoke to him about this mare a couple of years ago. I think did she win or come second at Market Raisin in a good bumper there, mare's bumper? Is she not the best horse in the race? I think she is on ratings. And she's available at 6-1. She'll like the ground. She's been running well all season. I think she ran badly last time because of the heavy ground, maybe. So, yeah, Park Princess, I think we're going 11-2, and that'll do for me. Yeah, Super Boost on this race from Unibet.
There you go. Super Boost in this race as well. And Ed, you're right. Yeah, best horse in the race on official rate is 126. And Unibet are currently at 11-2. Remember that Super Boost there. You can find all the details on the Unibet website. Graham Robway, you're to finish us off in this race. It is a real tricky affair.
I think if Bararua runs the race that he ran at Leopardstown last time, he will win. I think that was a different sort of race to this one. Yeah, it was a 21 runner handicap at the Dublin Racing Festival, and he beat most of the field. It was a much better race than this. The worry, of course, is that there's two or three potential improvers in here who could improve past him. But he's not that heavily raced himself, she's not that heavily raced herself. So I think that she might still have a little bit of improvement to come herself, particularly on better ground. She's got a flat pedigree, and she's got some good form on yielding and good ground previously. I just wonder, she can belt a few hurdles. I just wonder if coming off better ground, she might jump a bit better. She's uncomplicated ride, was bang up with her pace the whole time in that big field last time, and I'll find it a lot easier to dominate a small field like this. And I just think that maybe her experience could do it for a Bararua.
Bararua, then, for Graham Robway, top of the market currently. Look, it's this kind of racing this weekend, gents, where, like I say, it's not the best race, and we're leading into Cheltenham, but it's really competitive stuff. We haven't got any Grade 1 action, but we have got some real competitive stuff, so it's very easy to make a case for multiple horses. And I imagine a few of the viewers are finding it tricky to try and solve these puzzles, so hopefully we are helping them out. Let's go on to the 155 then. Now, this again looks a great little race. Mighty Bandit 6-4, Queen's Gamble 11-4, Brookie 11-2, On Public 7-1, Hercules de Soy 17-2, and Gabriel's Getaway is 9-1. It's a 2-mile handicap chase, class 2 event. But again, Graham Robway, this is a little bit of a cracker, isn't it?
Good race, yeah. A really fancy one in this Brookie. I've been waiting for him to have his day all season. And I think that this could be his day, Brookie. He ran one of his best races last season at this course when he was successful. He, of course, went on to compete in Grade 1 novice events later in the season and ran really well on good ground. And I think that is the key to Brookie. I think he needs good ground. And I think that it will be, again, no worse than good to soft at Doncaster this weekend, Sam. And that will explain why he was so disappointing last time out at Ascot. He was back on soft ground and he just didn't go a yard and was pulled up. I think you can put a line through that run on soft ground last time. Back on good ground, back at Doncaster. And if he shows the form that he showed when he was behind Calico at Cheltenham in October, I think that will be definitely good enough. That was a really good race. You know, some of the there's been some secret winners come out of it. Calico, I think, might have won himself since. Yeah, really fancy Brookie, quite strong on him against the favourite.
Yeah, I can tell. Brookie to have his day then on Saturday for Graham Robway. Matt Rennie, for you, it's a good case for Brookie. You're going to be against, I'm sure.
Well, it's almost like Graham Rodway's words were in my mouth as well. I strongly fancy Brookie as well for all the reasons he said. In fact, he won this race last year before going on to run really, really well at Aintree behind Khalif du Burlet, which is top form. He had Lou de Soud behind him that day. And look what he's done. He's Britain's leading champion Chase Hope after storming up in the Schlur Chase. But there's not much more I can really add to what G-Rod has said. But the ground looks like it's going to come very much in his favour. We know he's got a really, really, doing it some really, really well at the course. And I just think he sets the absolute standard, really. I think it's all right for him to come back to winning ways.
Okay. Double up for Brookie here. And Ed Nicholson knows what question's going to come and he's going to deny it. But is the hat-trick landing?
No, I'm leaving Brookie alone. I can see why you would think he'd run well for this field of one over the course and distance. And I always put down Doncaster as being a bit of a course specialist track. I'm not too sure why, but it's fairly flat and you have to get into rhythm jumping, I suppose. And there's a long, long run in the home straight. So maybe it does suit certain horses. And obviously, Brookie has won over course and distance. But the one I fancy is one over course and distance and has won on the flat, has won over hurdles, and is now better over fences than either of those two other disciplines. And that's Mighty Bandit, who is being trained for this race, as he always has been, by Warren Greatrex, ridden by James Bowen, one of my favourite jockeys. I think he'll go to the front and he'll stay there. I did look at Brookie. Brookie's had 11 chase runs and he's, you know, back form suggests that he will go well. But Mighty Bandit's only had 3 runs over fences, put his best performance last time out, course and distance. I'm a big fan of Queen's Gamble and I was looking to go with her, but I noticed the kind of form of the race at Wincanton where she beat Bluey, who was backed into odds on, I think. But it doesn't read too well. The RPR's actually really downgraded that run. So I'm just going to leave Queen's Gamble and go for Mighty Bandit. But yeah, as we've, you know, I've discussed 3 horses and there are only 6 runners in the race. So it is another tricky race.
It's one of those weekends, it really is. So 2 votes for Brookie, 1 vote for Mighty Bandit there. Moving on to the final race we cover from Doncaster. And this is, again, really competitive, but it always is, the Grimthorpe Handicap Chase over 3.25 miles, a Class 2 event here. And Jasmine de Grugy is the 11-2 favourite. King's Threshold 6-1. Dartmoor Pirate 13-2. Some Scopes 7-1. Kelsey's 8-1. New Order 9-1. Along with the form is Mighty. Double figures about the rest of the field here. Where do I start here? I looked at the horse that I quite liked here, gents, was Dartmoor Pirate, who he won the Great Yorkshire Chase, didn't he? He's up £5 for that win there. He's won 2 on the bounce and he goes here again. But I didn't think he was stopping that line. He stayed on really well. I don't know if the handicap has quite got the grip of the horse. So I thought the 13-2 about Dartmoor Pirate was quite good. Matt Rennie, any agreement there?
Wholeheartedly. Absolutely. I mean, I'd be fascinated to know what other horses have done the Great Yorkshire and Grimthorpe Chase double, because I don't think he's done a lot. But I agree. I think he's had only 4 starts over fences. He had 1 over 2 mile 1 last season, which is just simply not his trip. And on his return, it simply wasn't his trip as well. And since he's gone up in trip each time, he's absolutely thrived. And as you say, he was staying on really, really strongly in the Great Yorkshire Chase. And I can see him in the future, maybe. Anthony Honeywell does so well with these 3 mile handicap chases, but he might even be one of those regional national horses, like Midlands National or a Scottish National in time as well. And I don't think the handicap has got a grip of him at all. Raising £5 for winning last time. Look, Grand Jess didn't show up at all in that race, but he's gone out and bolted up in the Grand National trial since. Yeah, I just think he's got the most progressive profile in the race, and it looks like a very, very good place to go for hopefully target some really big ones in the spring, whether that be that 3 mile handicap chase at Aintree on National Day or a Scottish National, even the Midlands National probably comes a bit too soon. But he's got class and he looks like he could be a top notch handicapper in time.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, there we go. Matt Rennie and I on the same lines. You feel me with confidence there, Matt. Graham Robway, who did you like in the Grimthorpe?
I fancy New Order here. It's Charlie Longston's run has got the course form that I like. He ran well at the track last time when he was, of course, behind Dartmoor Pirate. But they finished very, very slowly that day. They finished at 93% finishing speed percentage, which suggests they went quite hard in front, and I think that suited Dartmoor Pirate, who really came home strongly. I think this time around, if New Order can get a slightly easier time of things, shall we say, towards the front end, I think he'll have a really good chance of reversing the places with him. He's obviously got Sam Twist and Davis taking over now from David Bass. Now, David Bass, you know, no disrespect to him, but he does like to go gung-ho from the front. And I expect Sam Twiston-Davis won't be quite so aggressive on the order. And if he can just save a little bit more for the finish, I think that he can beat Dartmoor Pirate this time around.
Okay, new order 9-1 for Graham Robway. And Ed Nixon, again, a big handicap like this. I'm sure there are extra places available with Unibet.
Yeah, extra place, this 11-2, the field, big handicap at Doncaster, always is. But Sam, you'll like this. Going back to the musical analogies and words, Graham's gone for a horse called New Order. I think it's going to be a blue Saturday for Graham, not a blue Monday. Because I don't think the New Order will win. And I think he might be out with the washing, actually. I think it's for such a competitive race. I've got two in this race, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of a move for one of them, because at the moment he's a complete outsider. I think Moroda, who's won this race twice in the last 3 years, I think it is, he showed a lot of form back last time at Doncaster. He ran on under his normal pilot, James Best. I tempted to back him at 40-1, 33-1. I think he'll go off shorter because he's come back to form and his handicap mark is actually not too bad. He won it off 125 in 2025 at 33-1. He won it off 131 at 18-1 in 23. I thought he's dropped down from 129 to 121, and this race is obviously a race they're going to go for. And I like the way he ran in the last race, but in his last race, he beat a horse that I think is going to improve again and win, and that's Some Scope, who, if you watch the race, was always going well from the front. And they will, as you say, there will be one or two that will try and make the running in this race, but Some Scope would probably be even better if he's taken on. There's just so many stats which suggest that Some Scope will run well. He's had four runs at Doncaster. He's won two and come second once. He's 3 from 6 on good to soft. He's 5 from 16 over this sort of trip. He's 2 from 5 with jockey Charlie Maggs. And in the last 14 days, his trainer's had 2 out of 3 winners. So it'll do for me, Some Scope. But Moroda each way at 40s, 33s. I'll also be having a bet on that one.
Okay, yeah, Moroda and Sam, Some Scope for Ed Nixon. I'm already getting ahead of myself into the next race. But yeah, again, look, extra place available with Unibet and plenty of horses that you can make a case for. Let's move on to Newbury then, gents. So two races from here. The 3:15 is, I just love these races, the Veterans Handicap Chase, Class 2 event here. And Unibet currently have Eldorado Rado Allen at 9-2. Torn and Frayed is 5-1. Brave Kingdom is 5-1. Mr. Coffee, my word, 13-2. Our Power's 13-2. Sam Brown's almost got his driving license. He's 8-1. Gabby's Cross is 9-1. Copperhead is 11-1. Capodanno 12s. And Hang In There is also 12-1. God, I do love these races. If anyone makes a case for Mr. Coffee, I will still refuse to back this horse. And I'm waiting for it. I don't know whether I'm going to get one. Ed, I'm going to come to you because it would be so great to see Mr. Coffee get his head in front. For some reason, he's just such a lovable horse.
Well, someone mentioned in the post, I think it was last week, that if Nicky Henderson wasn't a trainer, he'd be one of the greatest actors that the UK have ever provided. Because every time a horse season goes by, there's always some big storyline that he's the lead actor in. So this would be a perfect foil, wouldn't it? The final story for Mr. Coffee. In the week that Constitution Hill is retired from hurdling, he wins his first chase after 19 attempts. Great storyline, but unfortunately, it's not going to happen, is it? I love it too, but it's just not going to happen. I thought this is one of the most competitive and difficult races of the whole of the 10 that we're looking at. And I'd love to see Elvador Allen win again. We've got two winners of the Unibet Stayers Veterans Chase final here, Copperhead and Sam Brown. So lots of favourites, but I'm going to go for Torn and Frayed, who's been holding his form well. Really, it is such a difficult race. I just love to see these horses like you come back time and time again, year after year. And I'm going to enjoy watching the race, but I may not even have a bet in this race, but Torn and Frayed would be my selection.
Yeah, it's a race that I just absolutely adore watching some of these legends of the game. Matt Rennie, I don't know if you're the same or whether you've actually got a strong fancy in this.
I haven't got a strong fancy. I do agree with you on everything you said about the Veterans Chase. It's been a brilliant introduction to, like, just to keep throughout the whole season anyway. Look, Brave Kingdom is the young, like, one of the young guns in the field. trying this sort of sphere for the first time. We can make a case for him. I thought it was a good run last time out. He's, you know, he's off pretty lightweight in this, off 1.28. But you can also, I'm also thinking maybe a small each way play would be hang in there at a double figure price. He's the apple of Emma Lavelle's eye, and has been such a star throughout, mainly through the summer months for the Emma Lavelle yard. But that's because he likes this sound ground. Looks good to soft at the moment. If it keeps drying, or on the drier side, I think he may run a good race with Rian Corcoran, £7 claim. He's, I think he's effectively taking that into account, £2 lower than when winning at Chepstow two starts ago. And Rian's a very, very up and coming conditional, like really well touted. Maybe a small each way play on him. Apart from that, it's one of them. You sit back and enjoy it. It's one for the storylines, isn't it? I mean, he said, none bigger if Mr. Coffee finally smells the coffee anyway.
That's it. Wouldn't it be great? And Graham Robway, I mean, bar that 9-1 on favour and Protectorate, every race has felt similar, where just a case can be made for so many. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, as a punter, I love these days. You know, I love these days where it's just handicap, handicap, handicap after one after the other, all difficult puzzles. I'd much rather watch a day's racing like this than watch, you know, a bunch of three or four runner grade ones, for example. So yeah, I love it. And I thought that this was a difficult race because it's definitely going to be Brave Kingdom's day. Like, Paul Nichols will have had a race around Newbury in mind for him. He runs a lot of his best races here. The only thing that's in the back of my mind with Brave Kingdom is that he's got very dodgy legs, and you know, the ground again is probably going to be goodish, good to soft. And Paul Nichols did say at the start of the season that he'd be quite keen to keep Brave Kingdom to ideal conditions because of his legs. So I do wonder if the ground might be a bit quick for him. I'm absolutely certain it's his day, and Harry Cobden is there to ride him. Unlike Tornham Frey, for example, would have been high up on my list, but Kevin Brogan's riding him, and so because Sam Twiston Davis is over at Donny, you know, just, you know, what you read into that, I don't know, but it does just make me think that maybe Sam Twiston Davis thought he had better chances at Doncaster. So I'm with Brave Kingdom. I think it's his day. Let's hope that the ground isn't too fast for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if your bird in the background agrees with you too much, Graham, but I don't know if that's an agreement or if he's unhappy back there, but chirping away. Right, let's move on to the final race then, gents, which is the Greatwood Gold Cup. Handicap chase, 3.45 there, 2.5 miles, where you have Vincenzo as the 3-1 favourite, Twin Jets 4-1, Blow Your Wads 13-2 along with Issam, Heltonham and Joss the Boss are 10-1, 12-1 about Glengooley and Triple Trade. Bigger the rest of the field. I'm not going to keep saying how competitive the racing is. It just gets boring. But Graham Robway, go for it.
Another great race, isn't it? Another really good handicap, like we've been saying, Sam. This is a very, very difficult race. However, I'm going to stick with an old favourite of mine. I think it may be the last time I was on the podcast. My nap was Josh the Boss. And he didn't win, unfortunately. He was beaten in the race at Doncaster behind Dartmoor Pirate and New Order. However, I do think that is good form. As I say, I've already tipped New Order to win elsewhere. And Josh the Boss has come out and run really well since at Newcastle behind Prairie Wolf. So I think that Josh the Boss is going the right way. He's got loads of form around these flat left-handed tracks. He's uncomplicated. He'll go from the front, try and blast them away. And hopefully this time, I should have napped him again, shouldn't I, Sam? Mm. You know, because the times that you nap horse on this show, yeah, and then, you know, they go and win second or third. But this time, I'm hoping Josh the Boss is going to repay my faith for sticking with him.
Okay, Josh the Boss for Graham Robway then. Yeah, around 11-1 with Unibet currently. Matt Rennie, for you then, the Great Woods, who do you like?
Oh, I feel like I'm ending it on a boring note for me, but I'm sticking with the favourite Vincenzo, just because I've followed him all season. I thought, you know, it's a storming run to be four lengths behind Panic Attack in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, given what she's done. And I strongly fancy it for whether it be the Grand National or even the Mayor's Chase, mainly the Grand National for me. And he ran a stormer in the December Gold Cup as well, which I thought he probably should have won, but I thought he threw his chance away a little bit by hanging that. But he showed no signs of sort of that attitude or throwing a race away when winning at Ascot last time. and he probably didn't want to go that way around. He probably is better left-handed looking at the way he jumped that day. And the handicap is only putting up £2 for that. I think there's still leeway in that. I think he's just a really good horse in these kind of races. And of course, who can forget last year when he was nabbed by Booster Bob on the line. Yeah. So feels like there might be a bit of a score to settle with this one. And I'm with him. I think he simply might be the best up and coming, well, best horse in the race, really.
Yeah, Vincenzo for the Sam Thomas. Sam Thomas just doesn't seem like he's been out of form all season. He's been absolutely superb. And I quite like horse. Well, I actually really like horse Nickel Issam, who won last time out, beating a horse called Madara of Dan Skelton's. Madara gave Issam £4 that day. The horse did it extremely well. I think the horse could run big again on a flat track like Newbury. I see this as a great opportunity to add another win to horse's name. I don't know if you saw what Dan Skelton had to say about Madara as well, saying this could be one of his best chances at the Cheltenham Festival in the handicap. So he obviously thinks a lot of the horse as well. But I really liked this, Sam. Who did you like?
No, Issam made the shortlist, definitely. Tom Simmons, he had great success with it. Did he have a good hurdler owned by the same people?
Song for Someone.
Cheltenham.
Yeah, that's right.
Won a big race at Cheltenham. Won a race we sponsored, I think. Anyway, that doesn't help us with this race. I think, talking about naps, Vincenzo was a winning nap for me back on the 17th of January. Tipped up at 85-40, went off at 6-4. And it's going to be a selection of mine today, because he's just, as you know, it was just been said by Matt, he's an improving sort. He's still relatively unexposed over fences, 3 from 7. And he just keeps on going up by a few pounds each time. I think he came second in this race last year off a lower mark, but not that much lower, 134. He's on 142. And in between, he's come second in the December Gold Cup. He's come second in the Paddy Power. And he's won a very big race Ascot. So that's not a big hike, is it, in terms of where he is now compared to where he was 12 months ago? I think he's got a great chance, and once again I think the price will go. I think he'd be well backed. So yeah, I think Vincenzo to win again by less than 2 lengths, and his handicap mark will just keep on going up.
Yeah, we could be in for a well-backed favourite in the Greatwood then this weekend. But Vincenzo, yeah, 3-1 currently could be a really fair price based on that form.
Sam, sorry, I forgot to tell everyone, this is the best in price, so you can get the industry best price from noon with Unibet on this race. So any horse you back from noon on the website, on the unibet.co.uk website, you will get best price.
There you go. Yeah, check out Unibet for all of the terms and conditions with regards to that one there. Remember, there is so much racing this weekend. And do remember, you don't have to bet in every race. The MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet is only gamble with money you can afford to lose. There is so much action, so you don't have to bet in every race. Right, we're going to get other selections and our best bet shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet. You're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, sponsored by Unibet, brought to you by the Racing Post. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Matt Rennie and Unibet's Ed Nicholson now giving other selections. And Ed and Matt have told me that they don't have one, but Graham Robway has one for Friday. So if you are watching, you've got to be quick. But who do you like on Friday, Graham?
Yeah, it's a good meeting at Lingfield on Friday. It's the trials for the all-weather championships, which obviously come up not that far away now on Good Friday. 3:45 is the Marathon Trial. And Anniversary is a horse that I have had in my tracker for years, like since he was a juvenile, and he hardly ever turns up anywhere. Like, he must have so many problems. But when he does turn up, he tends to run well. He's got form in some of the best handicaps last season, including a hot 3-year-old handicap at Doncaster last time when he did everything wrong. He was slowly away and ended up poorly positioned, but sived through the field before really getting tired towards the finish. So Rafe Beckett's had him off the track again since, but obviously he must have had like glass legs or something, considering how few times he's made it to the track. But turning him to the all-weather, you know, that sometimes suits these horses who have got problems. And to my eye, he's just far better than this lot. The question is whether he's going to be fully wound up after 265 days off, and whether Connections are using this as a trial, as it says, for the big race on Easter Monday. But I never worry about Beckett's when it comes to fitness. You know, Beckett's pretty much one of the best around, and they're always bang on up for it first time. I think that if Anniversary's anywhere near fit, he'll win 3:45 at Lingfield on Friday.
There you go. There's one for Friday, and as Constitution Hill has done, he's made all-weather racing cool. So there you go. There's one for Friday from Graham Robway. And we've actually booked our tickets to the Lincoln as well, myself and Graham. So if anyone's at the Lincoln, come and see us. Right, let's get into the best bets then, gents, for this weekend. Who do we fancy? And we will start off with Matt Rennie. Who's the best bet this weekend?
Yeah, firstly, I won't join you at the Lincoln. I'll be in Dubai instead. But more imminently, my best bet is Cracking Rhapsody. I just think he's been laid out for the Moor Battle this year, and I really hope he does it. It'd be good to see a hat-trick hero of a really good handicap.
Okay, Matt Rennie with Cracking Rhapsody and a really decent flex there as well. Graham Robway, your best bet?
1:55 at Doncaster. I think it's going to be a good day for Sam Twiston Davis at Doncaster. I can't see any other reason why he's gone there, apart from the fact that he thinks he's got some really good chances, and one of his best... It's Brookie in the 1:55.
Okay, Brookie in the 1:55 at Doncaster for Graham Robway. I'm going to be with Issam in the 3:45 at Newbury. Like I say, beat Madara last time out. I think this horse has still got improvement in the horse. I think Tom Simmons, he could have this horse run well and get a second win on the bounce. And Ed Nicholson finishes off with your best bet, please.
Yeah, the Grimthorpe, 2:30 at Doncaster. Just think some scope's got plenty going for him. Trainer's in good form, 2 from his last 3 have won. Charlie Mads gets on well with him, 2 from 5 on him. 3 from 6 on good to soft, which will probably be the ground. And he's really good at this trip, 5 from 16, having won a couple of times at Doncaster. So some scope's got a lot going for him, and he's a fair price, around about 7-8 to 1.
There you go. Naps are on screen now. So it's Issam for myself in the 3:45 at Newbury. Brookie in the 1:55 at Doncaster for Graham Robway. Cracking Rhapsody in the 2:55 at Kelso for Matt Rennie. And some scope in the 2:30 at Doncaster for Ed Nicholson. And that is it for this week's show. What a hell of a show that was. Plenty of action previewed there. Reminders again, next Wednesday, before next week's postcast, is the Unibet and Racing Post Cheltenham preview show. Like I say, David Jennings, Paul Keighley, Tom Siegel, Ed Nicholson and Nicky Henson all in the studio. We'll also have a pre-recorded interview with Nico de Boinville. Worth tuning into that. It's going to be about a 2-hour show and every race will be covered. So looking forward to that. And then we'll have the Racing Postcast next Thursday, and we'll also have one on the Sunday with top 5 bets. It's just non-stop, Ed Nicholson, but Cheltenham is just under 2 weeks away now.
Incredible. Comes around so quickly, doesn't it? I can't believe we're almost there. I've literally had a coffee in the coffee shop here at Unibet headquarters, and everyone's talking about it. It's fantastic. I love it. Every year, everyone at Unibet gets involved with horse racing. Fantastic.
That's it. And if you're looking forward to Cheltenham, let us know down in the comments. Give the video a like and subscribe if you haven't already. But that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to G-Rod, to Matt Rennie and to Ed Nicholson. Do remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll see you on the Race Post channel next Wednesday for our Cheltenham preview.